You know, man is obviously depraved. That means we're sinful. And we get all mixed up on some things sometimes. And so man has come up with all kinds of who he thinks or what he thinks would be the mediator between that man, that woman, and God. We have altars in churches that people worship as if that was the mediator, that particular altar was the way to get to God. We have images that are placed in prominent places throughout an edifice, throughout a building, and they are almost worshipped, and many times they are recognized as something that would help us get to God, some kind of man-made God or man-made mediator. If that isn't good enough, they'll come up with a mediatrix, a woman who is supposed to be the mediator between man and God. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. If you'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul gives some general exhortations beginning with verse 1. And we'll read through verse 5, our text verse. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, or 1 rather, chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, 1 Timothy 2, 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're supposed to pray for people and pray for all men. It tells us what to pray about. For kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Let me just stop there and say, whosoever will can be saved. I am not a hyper-Calvinist. If you are, you ought to get right with God. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God's foreknowledge didn't make it causative. The fact that God knows who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, does not mean that he made them go to heaven or made them go to hell and selected them before the foundation of the world. But he wants everybody to be saved, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now look at verse 5, our key verse. For there is one God, one, and one mediator between God and men, depraved men, the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator. Only one. What is the meaning of a mediator? He's called a mediator. What do we mean when we're talking about the mediators? He's talking about him here in the Bible. One place he mentions it is here, and then three other times, four times in all, he mentions three times a mediator in the book of Hebrews. Read through it and you'll find those places. And there are two areas that I think are emphasized in the idea of a mediator. One is that he is a reconciler. He is a reconciler. And here's what you have. You've got man over here, and man is depraved and wicked and corrupt. We're conceived in sin, right? We're conceived in sin. And we have the Adamic nature. And we're not prone to want to live right and do right. We're sinful beings. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And here I am in all of my dirty, filthy rags, and the best I can give him is filthy rags. But over here on the other side is Almighty God. We sang the song, Holy, 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 a while ago. Is God holy? Oh, the Holy Trinity. We just don't understand, I don't think, what that means. How perfect and how holy God is and what God demands. And here's God over here. And he is holy, and here's man over here, and man is corrupt and unholy. And how are you going to get the two together? How are you going to bring them together? How's it going to happen? Two parties. Well, the reconciler is Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in between the two. Jesus Christ is the only one that can get me right with God and God right with me and bring us back together. I counsel a lot, more than I want to, but a lot of times you've got one faction over here, usually the husband, and you've got another faction over here, the wife. Sometimes it's parent and children, so on and so forth. But I have to try to play the part of the reconciler and use the scriptures. And by the way, the scriptures always work. If they'll listen to the scriptures, it will work. And try to get them back together, the marriage or whatever it is, to try to be a human reconciler in a human relationship. Jesus Christ was the only one that could reconcile dirty, depraved, hell-bound, hell-bent, sinful man with a holy, thrice holy, holy, holy God and bring us back together. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. And I think also another word there is the word medium. He is a mediator. He is a medium. Now the New Agers and all of those folks have their mediums. But we have a mediator and we have a medium, and that is the one that God chooses to channel his communication through. And God has chosen to channel his communication with man through the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator, the reconciler. Now the Bible says Moses was the mediator of the law. Read back in the book of Genesis and other places and you'll find out that Moses was the mediator of the law. What does that mean? God did not directly appear to every individual and give them the Ten Commandments. But he did to Moses up on Mount Sinai, and Moses brought it down. He had to do it a couple of times because that first group was Baptist, you know, so he had to bring it back down. They broke the thing and already messed it up before he ever got down there with it, but God had to work it out. Moses was the mediator of the law, and the law is good in its rightful and lawful place. How do we know we're sinners? Because we know what the law says, and we violate the law, and we break the law because we are sinners. Who told us that? What was the human agent that was used of God? Moses was. Now we have another person that needs to mediate for us and be the medium for God to communicate with us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses was the mediator of the law, so Jesus is the mediator of what God wanted to do and how God feels about us. Every blessing, every good thing we have, every thing that God has given us, the joy, the happiness, the purpose of life, all of that has come through from God to us through Jesus Christ. You wouldn't have it today if God had not communicated that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to approach God, listen, God's holy. If you're going to approach God, you had better approach him through the mediator. If we're going to approach him and ask for forgiveness, if we're going to approach him in prayer, if we're going to approach him in any way, we must approach him through that mediator, and that mediator is none other than Jesus Christ. God to us, us to God, through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the idea. That is the meaning of it. There's one mediator between God and man. Only one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are the qualifications of the mediator? How could he qualify to be the mediator? Well, number one, he had to be chosen and ordained of God. Only God could choose the one and only mediator that he wanted to choose, and God ordained Jesus Christ to do that. No man has a right to ordain anybody or anything else as a mediator. No man has that right whatsoever. No man has the right to take that honor to himself. No man on the face of this planet Earth has the right to take on the mediatorship of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the one that God is talking about. Nobody has that right. Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible tells us a little more about that. And in that chapter 5, he says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Aaron, God said, you can be the high priest. You got to offer sin for yourself, but I'll let you do that for mankind in that relationship. As he saith, verse 6, in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now who gave him that right? Well, that right was given to him by Almighty God and only God. Amen. Now, that was a limited priesthood. But the right that was given to Jesus Christ was given as a perfect and permanent and perpetuated priesthood, and it was given by none other than God Almighty. God's the only one who could do it. Amen. Now, man's always trying to come up with something that he has concocted. And it's always pretty and religious and beautiful. And the form is usually very beautiful. And all of the things that go along with it are very, very beautiful. But let me tell you something. You can put an image on every pew. You can put an image of some kind in every niche, in every corner, in every cranny around here. You can put some kind of statue, some kind of something that would symbolize or teach that you can somehow use those things to get to God, and that they would be a mediator between you and God, and you would be absolutely wrong, because God never ordained one of them. Amen. Not one of them. Aaron had two sons, Nadab and Abihu. I love those names. Wish I'd have named my son that. One of them. Nadab and Abihu. And they said, we don't want our daddy being the priest over us. We don't like that. And daddy said, but you can't be priest. God hadn't ordained you right now. It's not your time. And they said, but we want to do it. And so they self-ordained themselves as priests. And they went into the place to offer sacrifice. And God said, you're not going to do that. I never told you that you could be a mediator. And God came down with fire and destroyed both of those boys. Because they had no business trying to be a mediator in that place. They did not have God's authority to do that. There was another man by the name of Korah. K-O-R-A-H. And he was going to do the same thing. He was arrogant, proud, thought he would go in, and he didn't really believe what God had said about the whole thing, and that God was really holy, and that God's ordained way is the only way. And he said, I'm going in, and I'm going to offer a sacrifice. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll just make myself a priest. And when he got through, God killed him and his whole family and allowed an earthquake to come, and they dropped through the crevices. And God did that because God said, you had no right to do that. The only mediator is the one that I say is the right one and the only one. And that's who we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A mediator, another qualification, not only has to be chosen, ordained of God, but he has to be able to sympathize with both parties. And I love that. Again, here's the picture of Jesus in the middle. And he reaches out one hand to the sinner and one hand to the Father. And by the way, he knows both. Because he spent eternity past over here with the Father. He always has been. Jesus didn't start existing when he was conceived in the womb. That was a miracle. He already existed in heaven. He came to this earth as our Redeemer. And then here is depraved man. And Jesus understood us. That's why he came in human flesh. Why did he have to come at all? Because God the Father wanted it to be so that the Son came and he would know what you go through and what I go through. And therefore he could take the hand of a holy God and he could take the hand of a pitiful sinner, knowing both. Not that Jesus was a sinner, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, but he knew what it was. All of that came together, and so he can sympathize with both parties. I'm glad that he can. And so in Hebrews what we need to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews tells us that again, but listen to what he says. But we see Jesus. We better see him. Watch what he says. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. If you're struggling today, he knows what it is. If you're agonizing today, Jesus knows what it is to agonize. If you're going through other problems, Jesus knows. I'm glad we have a sympathetic Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews goes on to say, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels. Listen, here's the mediator. He didn't take on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became the God-man, as much God as man, as much man as God. Something you and I can never understand or totally explain, but that's exactly what happened. And he says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Amen. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's saying he understands us today, folks. He takes the hand of a holy God and the hand of a sinner, and he reconciles us as the beloved mediator. I'm glad that he does that. He understands. Tempted in all things, and I said it earlier, yet, watch it, without sin. Tempted in all things, yet perfect and without sinning. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Redeemer. He understands your trial today, Christian. He understands your temptation today, believer. He understands everything you're going through. The Bible says we have that kind of mediator. He knew God in the past. He knows us. He knows what we're going through. He knows that we needed a redeemer, and he was glad to be that redeemer. You could go over in Rome and one of the basilicas and other places, and you will find, this is true, the Virgin Mary, or an image of her, dying on the cross. You see, they've gotten away from what the Bible says. The Virgin Mary is not the mediator. They've gotten so far away from it that they say you've got to talk to Mary before you can talk to Jesus, before you can talk to God. That is not biblical. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to be biblical. But look at what he says. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the M-A-N. Not the woman. The man. One man, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. We don't have a mediatrix. We have a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his work? What is his work? It's a wonderful work. And another part of that is not only the propitiation and some of those things, but there are other things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and for me in order for us to be saved, in order for us to be redeemed. By the way, he keeps us saved once he saves us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Amen. You see, we are redeemed and brought into the family of God, but we are kept and we cannot lose our salvation because we have a mediator who is right now making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. That's why we cannot lose the gift of salvation that he has given us. He is up there and he keeps us forever. Listen to the word of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died for us, yea, rather, that is risen again for us, who is even at the right hand of God, that is for us, who also maketh intercession for us. And you can multiply that truth numbers of times in the Bible. 1 John 2:1-2, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. You see, not only do we get saved and justified by the mediator, we're kept, and he's still mediating for us. That's why we can't lose our salvation. You as a believer can get far away from God. You as a believer can sin, and we do sin after we're saved, do we not? In fact, most of us did most of our sinning after we got saved, because most of us in here got saved when we were children. How many of you got saved when you were younger, a child? Look around you. That's the majority, the vast majority. And most of us would have to admit, I did most of my sinning after I got saved. 1 John, that's not to encourage us to do it, but that's just to say we have a mediator. In John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. In Revelation, the first chapter, he said, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. What's he doing? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's still mediating for you and me. He's still taking care of that relationship that we have. That's why we can never fall into the damnation of hell once we get saved. Hallelujah for the reality of the fact that once we're justified, it is forever. And you cannot lose your salvation. That's a lie of the devil. You can lose fellowship and joy. You can't lose your salvation. Why? Because we have a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a couple of sides in the remission of sin. One is expiation. That word means Jesus makes up for what we have done wrong, and he is a sacrifice to do that. Then there's another word called propitiation. He is our propitiation. That means that he basically has rendered us favorable before God. And expiation and propitiation, he satisfies through the atonement, through all of those different things. God does that. He covers our sin. He is the propitiation for our sin. He is our redeemer. He is our mediator. God called Abraham, and he said, I'm going to change you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. That nation is called Israel. And he later told him that he wanted him to go and take his son, the promised seed, and offer him as a sacrifice. We studied that in our Sunday school and adult classes this morning. But he said to his father, where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Not that just God would provide a sacrifice, but God would provide himself through the mediator, through the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice. And so it is that in the temple that they would offer the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was based on the shed blood. And the priest could go in first, offer the sacrifice, and then go into the Holy of Holies and then plead the case based on what? The blood of the sacrifice. And my friend, that's still the way it is today. The basis is always the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can laugh at us and make fun of us and tell us that we're old-fashioned and that we have a bloody religion and it's a grotesque religion. Do all you want to. But I'm telling you, this book says there's one basis, and the basis of forgiveness is the blood of Jesus Christ. I will forgive him and her because I died for them. I sacrificed my life, the perfect one, for the imperfect. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham didn't go up there and give a litany about how good his son was. He did what God said, and there was a ram that was offered in, as a sacrifice for his son. And so Jesus Christ came to be our sacrifice. And I'm glad that we have the gospel, and we're forgiven. If we're forgiven at all, I want to tell you today, we're forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not going to get to heaven any other way. And as a believer, when you fail God, And you know we do. What do? Do we lose our salvation? Does God throw us out of the family? Now, God will withhold His blessings and His mercy until we get on our knees somewhere before God and we say, God, I confess my sin based on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is up there saying, I died for him, God. Remember, I died for her. Remember, I paid for that sin. It's all paid for. And that's just God's plan. That's why every backslidden Christian here today who's been out of God's will can come to this altar this morning and bow before God and say, God, I failed you. I did a spiritual spread eagle. I messed up. I messed up royal. I messed up over a long period of time. But God, I claim the blood of Jesus. Forgive me. Forgive me. That is not to encourage anybody to sin. Sin always has its price. But when we confess and when we come to Him as a believer, as a child of God, hallelujah, we have the Lamb and we have the blood to plead. God might, if He were to say to you, why do you think I ought to forgive you, Christian, believer? You have failed me. Look what you did. Look what you did, David. The blood, that's it. I plead the blood. And friend, that's what you have to plead in order to be saved. Have you pled the blood? Have you been washed in the blood? Do you really understand that the only mediator, the only medium, the only way, the only one who can reconcile you with God, take your hand, take His hand, is Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. A moment, we'll have our prayer. If you're here without Christ, listen to me. Try not to think about where you're going and what's out there. Just let me have your attention a moment. Dear friend, if you're not saved, would you plead the blood of Jesus? He'll be your mediator. He wants to be. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the mediator. All should come to the reconciler, the expiator, the propitiator. Jesus is the only one. Come to Him. All the works of man, all of the relics of man, all of the statues of man, all of the concocted things, they won't do it. It has to be Jesus Christ. Come to Him today. And dear Christian, if you fail or if you have a prayer need, something on your heart, a burden, bring it to the Lord today. Let Him help you. Jesus wants to answer your prayer. The first part of those verses was a welcome to pray and how to pray. Would you come to Him today? Father, bless in the invitation. We ask now that Your perfect will would be done. May we respond to the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Help us to lay down our pride. Help us to obey You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.